Please would you all sit down. That's a wonderful hymn. If you get the opportunity to look at the words a little bit more, you can see the themes of the first word of each verse: hope, wisdom, honour, ease and love, which seem to be very good themes for this Remembrance Day. We are part of something big today, aren't we? All around the country and all around the world, people have been preparing to mark this anniversary, 100 years exactly since the end of the First World War, or as they used to call it at the time, the Great War. For more than 4 years, there had been constant fighting in Europe and in other parts of the world. Nation after nation had been drawn into the conflict. Regiment after regiment had been created and headed out to join the fight. Soldiers often underage because they were so keen to do their part for their country. And man after man, boy after boy, lost their lives or was brutally injured. And then it was over. 100 years ago today, a piece of paper, an armistice, was signed in a train carriage. And 6 hours later, the armies just stopped. Up to moments before, they were still at war, and then they weren't. There was silence. No more guns, no more fighting. What must it have been like for the soldiers? What must it have been like for the generals and the politicians? What must it have been like for the families at home? We can only imagine, or we can read about it, or some you may know somebody from whom you can hear about it, but we'll never experience that. But 100 years on, we are definitely going to mark it, to remember that it happened, and to see how we might respond today. So what do we make of it? It is an absolutely huge thing to think about. I'm going to risk using an illustration that I'm not an expert at, and I happen to know that some people in this room are much more of an expert at it. But as I say in the adverts, say it with flowers. So I'm going to think about the flowers that we use and what they can help us to think about on this 100th anniversary of the end of the First World War. So first of all, I have some celebration flowers. If there was a big celebration, and to be honest, if somebody wasn't going to spend a huge amount of money and get them from the supermarket, you might get a bunch of flowers like this. Now, these are very bright coloured. Actually, they're not really big enough for everybody to see, so I've got another lot of celebration flowers. Which are fake. But they're sunflowers, and they're bright, and they're celebratory. So here we are, celebration flowers. You give people flowers when you want to say congratulations, when you want to say you did it, when you want to say happy birthday maybe, when you want to say you're the best, or when you want to say thank you, I'm really grateful. They are good news flowers, these sort of celebration flowers. They're a reason to smile, to cheer, to clap, to dance even. I bet a lot of you do that, really. And there was certainly a huge amount of celebration at the end of the First World War when the news got out that the war was over. Celebration in the battlefield, though the people there were so exhausted, it wasn't sometimes a huge celebration. They were too tired and dazed. Celebration back home, definitely. You can see some of the old footage of people dancing in rings with excitement, with joy, and bells ringing out from churches all over the place. So, 100 years ago, they celebrated. But do we celebrate? Is that one of the things that we do today to celebrate? It is, I think, on this particular anniversary because the war ended. It was long and horrible, but it ended. People stopped being killed and injured. That's a reason to celebrate, even though it would have been so much better if it hadn't happened at all. Then we can also celebrate because humans, after 4 years of war and being enemies, actually worked out an agreement to stop the fighting. It took changing of minds. It took giving up of pride. It took working things out. But they did it, and that's something to celebrate. So we have flowers to celebrate, and today we can celebrate. And we celebrate not least because of all the people who came back alive and safe, and many of them well. 6 million men from the UK joined up to fight. One in four of all of the men at that time. And 3 million from the countries that we ruled at that time in other parts of the world, far, far away from us. And most of them came back. Most of them could be welcomed home. Welcomed home and thanked. And with our celebration, we also have a huge thankfulness. A thankfulness to all who fought, to all who returned, and most particularly to all who didn't. Because so many didn't. Almost 900,000 UK troops and 300,000 troops from the colonies where we ruled other countries died in the war. They were killed. More than 1 in 10 of those who went out. And then many more were wounded than were killed. So that is not much of a reason for celebration. But I have another flower as we think about that. This is a red rose. It's not so big. It's just one flower. If you're at the back, maybe you can't even see it. But maybe that's the point. A red rose is a sign of love. It's the Valentine's flower so often, isn't it? It says, I love you. It's also given by one person to another person very often. It's individual. And all those people who died were individuals. We can say, sadly, that nearly 10 million men were killed in the First World War, but that is a statistic. It's really hard to understand. But each one of them was an individual. Each one of them was loved and lost to those who loved them. A rose is a flower of love, but that also means it's a flower of loss. It can be a sign that you've loved and lost somebody. I see people putting them on graves today. And today, this one is a reminder of many graves, many of them unmarked graves from the horrors of the First World War. So we have a flower of love and loss. And for some families, that love and loss is very personal. It's maybe not so close now as we think back to the First World War, but for many people it's very close, for those whose family members and friends were involved in more recent conflicts. And as a whole community, as a nation, as a world, there is a sense of sadness and loss, that wars go on, that it keeps happening again, that peace is so hard to find. And that's where my third flower comes in. More of a plant, this one. If you like the look of this, less than £10 in IKEA. This is a peace lily. The white flowers on it, which are not quite fully in bloom, but you can see them, the white flowers are a sign of the white colour, which is so much known as the colour of peace. Surely we all long for peace. Wars are horrible. The death and the brutality, the scars left on bodies and minds. We long for peace, but peace is really hard to find and hard to keep alive. But we have to hold on to hope and to keep doing what we can to make peace, to avoid conflict, to find another way. The Bible reading that Sheila read is a reminder of the other way that God sees things. God is not impressed by war makers, by hate stirrers, by the big and the powerful. Jesus says that the poor in spirit get the kingdom. Those mourning will be comforted. The meek will inherit the earth. The merciful will be shown mercy. The peacemakers are God's children. It's a bit upside down compared to the world's values that we so often hear. But it's God's way of peace and justice. Do we dare to value the things that God values? In fact, Jesus showed us this upside down way most particularly because he died and he rose again for each of us. He sacrificed himself so that we could have life eternal. So we have all these flowers. Bright celebration flowers, thankfulness flowers, love and sadness and loss in the red rose, and peace, the peace lily. They're all part of today, and I think they're all somehow held in what you might call today's flower. It's not really much point me holding one of these up. You can just look around you, look down, look at your neighbour. The poppy is today's flower. This year, they are very much part of what we're doing and very much part of a celebration. All this bright colour and hope as well. And then they very much mark the loss of so many lives. So many poppies around the world, around this church in fact, have people's names on them or they've been placed there with somebody's name in mind. And they show our thankfulness to all those who lost their lives in war. And they are a sign that we're thinking of the past and longing for world peace, hopefully learning from the mistakes of the past and hoping that there will be an end to war because there's been too much war. And all of that is held in the simple poppy. Our first reading that Callan read was Psalm 23, a poem about a shepherd, about God as our shepherd, leading through the good places, the green pastures and the still waters, and through the bad places, the valley of the shadow of death. I'm sure that poem, that psalm, was much read in the First World War. Out of the shadow of death, the devastation of the green pastures, which was so much part of the battlefields of the First World War, God's nature brought forth poppies. We must never forget the significance. Celebrate that the war came to an end 100 years ago, but maybe more. To be thankful, to recognise the huge amount of loss, and to hope and pray for peace. Through that war, and long before and ever since, men and women have found hope and safety in following the lead of that shepherd, God, the Good Shepherd, guiding us through life, the good parts and the bad parts, and even through death. He offers to be shepherd to each of us today.